Good morning. Hey, good morning. And for those of you at home who are joining us online, good morning to you as well. We are glad to have you with us and hope you enjoy your time as you listen to the word and as you hear the Lord's voice this morning. We hope you've enjoyed the worship with us this morning at home, and God bless you, and looking forward to participating with you again more online. Well, I kind of already prayed, but let's pray again. Love to pray. Hallelujah. 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 Robashika basoto. Rola basonto robashika. Lord, we pray for a fresh move of your spirit this morning in this place. We pray, God, that as we open and share the truths of your word, that you would bring life and revelation to our hearts. That, God, we would leave this place a little more full of you. Fill our hearts, Lord, this morning with joy. Amen. Well, it's very, does it sound echoey out there, or is it good out there? Okay, good. It's just back here. This is a very rustic platform that we're preaching on this morning. As you can see, we're in transition as we continue to make changes to our living room so that those who come would continue to enjoy the Lord's presence in the 21st century. Amen? The title of this morning's message is Anointed and Appointed for Service. I want to talk a little bit about the anointing of the Lord. Let's open with a scripture. This is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 18. And Paul says to the believers in Ephesus, "Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise men, women, children, teenagers, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. But rather, be filled with the Holy Spirit." Be filled with the Holy Spirit. The word "be filled" denotes the meaning of continually and repeatedly being filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to open up this morning with a very important story, and as I do, I want to share with you a very important picture. And here it is. Oh, the snowblower. A mighty machine it is, capable of moving much snow and improving and innovating areas of our lives. Let me tell you about machines. Machines, the internal combustion engine, requires a few very essential components to operating as it was created and intended to do. And everybody knows that one of the most important components of the internal combustion engine is gasoline. It will not run without gas. Generally, people know that. It doesn't matter how high you are, young or small, most people know that the internal combustion engine, you can leave that picture up there though. I really want to drive this home. Know that it requires gasoline. I know that. You know, I'm a man in my mid-40s. I've been running internal combustion engines for a while, lawnmowers, cars, snowblowers. I'm pretty well versed on how they work, right? I mean, I don't know all the subtle intricacies and the nuances of the deep workings of these things, but I know enough to make them run and to maintain them properly. There's another very important type of material that this device needs to run effectively and efficiently? Oil. Now, I'm not materialistic, but I loved my snowblower. Now, in that sentence, you might have caught me say, I loved my snowblower. You see, we didn't have a lot of snow last year. But there was one day, and I believe it was at some point, December, January, where we got a big dumping. And I was so excited. I said, oh, I get to get her out and get her going. And I was just so happy. My wife can attest to you. I went skipping out the door. It's snowblower time! And I went to skip out the door, and I opened the shed and pulled out the snowblower. And I'd been, you know, I had it for a couple of years. I'd been cleaning it. I'd been oiling it. I've been maintaining it, you know, changing the oil, putting fresh gas in, you know, doing all the winterizing. I take good care of my stuff. It's important to take good care of the things that the Lord gives to us. And so there I am, you know, all excited to get this thing going and to clear the snow. And I went down and I pulled the cord. Oh, it sounded beautiful. I mean, it sounded like a machine that had been well-maintained and looked after. It was new. It was ready to go. And I turned away for about a minute and a half, and all of a sudden, I hear this awful noise. I'll never forget the sound. It went something like this. And I thought, oh, that did not sound good. I mean, I knew that sound. I'd never heard it personally, but I heard of the sound, and I knew it wasn't a good sound. Immediately, my heart sank into my chest, and I realized there was a problem. I kind of knew what I thought the problem was, but I knew, wait a minute, I know that engines need oil. I know I put oil in. I changed the oil in the fall. I remember the process of removing the oil cap, draining the oil, putting the oil cap back on, dumping oil in, and sealing it up. There was a problem, and that was the dipstick was it's yellow. Who makes a yellow dipstick? So it's kind of hard to see how much oil was in. And I don't remember exactly how much I put in, but I remember the user's manual saying, make sure that you don't overfill it, but you put enough in. I don't know what that means. So I'm putting oil in. Apparently, it needed a lot more oil than I think I gave it. To this day, it's still a bit of a mystery. And I remember thinking to myself, oh boy, what do I do now? Immediately, I jumped on the horn and called my father because he's fairly knowledgeable about these kinds of things, as most fathers are. And he gave me some pointers and said, well, there is oil in it, right? I said, yeah, of course there is. And I remember pulling up the dipstick and going, it looks kind of like dirty and dry, but there is something on it, so I know that there's oil in it. He goes, well, you know, those things need a lot of oil. He says, well, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. What should I do? In my panic, in my haste, I grabbed a container of oil and just started dumping it in, thinking, maybe that'll get in there and start to free it up and loosen it up. Nothing. I tried it again. Pulled the cord, seized up, like just tight, like totally seized, immovable. And I remember thinking to myself, well, I guess that's it. Snowblower dead. Now, here's the thing. There was a lot happening that preceded me pulling out the snowblower. To say that, and this was, by the way, pre-COVID. This was before mid-March of last year, okay? COVID hadn't even hit us yet. But there was a lot of changes that were happening in my life. There was a lot of difficulties and hardships that I was experiencing in the workplace. There was a lot of changes in my family that were causing me to have a lot of tribulating and difficulties and hardships. There was, you know, the loss of our pastor. That was huge That was massively affecting me. Changes happening in the church, changes happening at work, changes happening at home. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you, I was at a period in my life where I was feeling very, very dry and very, very empty. And I was trying to stay in the Word, trying to stay in prayer. But you know, the things around me in life just kept surmounting. And I was just feeling more and more empty. My wife, and she'll attest to this, I'm sure this is not putting her on the spot, she would have said that I was becoming a little more irritable, a little more grumpy, a little more difficult to be around. Well, that happens. When all these circumstances are unfolding around us, and we're not staying fresh in the Word, and fresh in the Lord's presence, and fresh spiritually in prayer, we will, you've heard us preach this message so many times from the platform, we will get a little bit ornery, a little bit dried out, and a little bit difficult to be around. It's true. A little bit of time had passed, and that's when I realized what was going on. A few months had passed, and I didn't have this understanding right away, but the Lord caused me to look back on it and reminded me, Jason, you see your snowblower? It's a whole lot like you right now. See, you need the oil, and you, my friend, are dry. You are running, you're full octane with your fuel because you've still got to carry on doing the things that you're doing, but you have no oil. So when all the parts are moving, when things are happening, you're getting seized up, dried up, and it's going to cause a whole lot of very difficult frustration, friction, tension, difficulties, and eventually that engine is going to blow. Jason, you are your snowblower. Now, if anybody here knows me, you know that I'm not one that's quick to over-spiritualize things. But I'm telling you, as sure as rain, when this happened, I knew, and I had a knowing in my spirit, that the Lord had allowed this thing to unfold to teach me something. And I recognized by faith that often God allows things to happen in the natural to reveal something to us in the spirit. Is this a truth that we can all agree on? How many times have we seen things happen in the natural and the Lord uses that to teach us something about ourselves spiritually? This was what I was experiencing. And the neat thing about this story is that as soon as I had the aha moment, that revelation word, that word from the Lord to confirm, Jason, this is you and you need the oil now. As soon as I did this, it was amazing because I thought to myself, but I'm still out of snowblower, right? I'm telling you, within a few weeks of experiencing this word from the Lord and activating it, having the revelation and activating it have to go together. Yes, Lord, I'm seeing what's happening. I'm hearing your voice. I'm hearing your word. I'm going to get in your word. I'm going to get in your presence. I'm getting the message, Lord. I understand. Forget the snowblower. I don't care about the snowblower. I care about what you're doing in my life. And I realize that if this is truly me, I'm in trouble. Because I might not have blown a head gasket yet, but if the truth of this principle is correct, I'm going to end up blowing a head gasket real soon, and that will not be a good thing. So I needed to make a course correction, and I did. But again, the beautiful thing is, as soon as I made this course correction, as soon as I began to realign myself with the Lord and His word and His way, as soon as this happened, all of a sudden, I saw a snowblower on my neighbor's driveway across the street, and I said, why is this out here? He says, well, we're moving, and I don't need it. Do you want it? Wow! Okay, that's just kind of neat, right? It's like the Lord teaches you something, but He doesn't teach you something and then punish you.
By the way, I taught you a lesson. Now you got to go spend $3,000 on a new snowblower. No, that's not how the Lord works. He taught me something, and then he redeemed that for me. He said, don't worry, I'm not going to leave you high and dry. I wanted to show you something. You got the message, but now I'm going to make sure to give you back that which was lost. Woo! Hallelujah! Okay, but then it gets better. Because my wife and I were saying, well, what are we going to do now? We got two snowblowers. We got one that's a paperweight, and we got a brand new snowblower here from the neighbor. What are we going to do? She got online, she started trying to sell it. As soon as she put it online and started trying to sell it, a whole bunch of people started chiming in and said, oh yeah, we'll take it. And I had this thought that dropped in my mind, and I said, wait a minute, maybe there's still hope for this little guy. And I just did a little bit of, I don't know why I didn't do it before, but I did a little searching online on what you can do to unseize an engine. And sure enough, within 48 hours, I followed these principles. I went through the procedures, and roosh, there it was. And I thought to myself, wow, Lord, now I have two snowblowers. I mean, talk about a Job experience, right? We need a fresh anointing of God's Spirit each day. We need to be filled, as Paul says, each day with a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit and God's anointing power. Psalm 92 says, my horn, my emblem of strength and power, you have exalted like that of a wild ox. He says, I am anointed with fresh oil for your service. We need fresh oil daily. Charles Spurgeon said, never try to live on the old manna or seek to find help in Egypt, which was a picture of the world. Old anointings, he said, will not suffice to impart unction to your spirit. Your head must have fresh oil poured upon it from the golden horn of the sanctuary of God, or it will cease from its glory. It will cease to reflect the glory of God that we were intended to reflect. Do you know that many believers have never experienced and never received the anointing that I'm talking about this morning? Some of you in this very room have experienced it and have forgotten about it. You have forgotten about the anointing and how awesome it is to move and flow in the anointing of God. Some of you in this place are probably still resting on an experience that you might have had long ago. And our encouragement to you this morning is to return to the Lord's well for a fresh anointing of His Spirit and His power. So what is this anointing that we're talking about? Well, historically, traditionally, when we talk about the anointing, we're talking about a ritualistic act of pouring oil out over a person's head or body. But watch this. The word anoint, primarily used in both the Old and the New Testament scriptures, comes from the Greek root, which is kero. And this word denotes a smearing or rubbing of oils or perfumes on an individual. Now, this was done by medical practitioners, doctors, healers. What they would do is they would pour the oil out onto their hands, and then they would massage it, rub it all over you. It would permeate your very pores and your very being. How many of you know that the Lord wants to put His hands on you and rub and caress His anointing into you? He wants to press it into you. Where's Natasha? Our resident massage therapist. There she is, rubbing the oils, massaging them. Anybody who's had a Natasha massage knows what I'm talking about. Imagine the Lord doing that to you, covering you in oil, and then setting Natasha loose on your physical body, massaging, kneading, rubbing it into every area, every joint, every fiber of your being. This is a picture of what God wants to do to each one of us. Amen? Amen. It's a good picture. But check this out. When the oils or perfumes were rubbed in, they had an aroma. There was an aroma that was with, that accompanied the rubbing and the smearing of the oils. And look at, take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I love this. Paul says to the people in Corinth, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma. The sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are the fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death, and the other, an aroma from life to life. We are the aroma of God as He has rubbed His anointing oils into us. Spiritually speaking, so I talked about the natural, what it looks like to be rubbed in oil, pressed around oil, the aroma of the oil. But spiritually speaking, the spiritual implication is this. The anointing is, and listen carefully, is a, did we give a slide for this one? I can't. Yeah, that's good. Okay, this is really good. Write this down. The anointing is a release of Holy Spirit power and grace to fulfill the call that God has placed on our lives. The anointing is not so that you can look good and feel good about yourself. It's to empower us to fulfill the call that God has placed on our lives. So what's your call? If God wants to release His anointing over you to fulfill the call that He has on you, what is the call that He has on you? What is His will for your lives? I'm telling you, a number of believers that I come into contact with on a regular basis, when I ask them the question, what is the call that God has on your life? They look like a deer in headlights. And they're not really sure what that call is. But it's a very important question for us to unpack. Your call is the thing that God intended for you to become. And it is the call concerning what He has called you to do. It is both to become and to do. When He created you, He had a purpose for you. This includes our first call, which is to salvation. The first call of the Spirit on our lives is to salvation. And then, immediately, to discipleship. If we miss a beat along the way, we run the risk of meandering spiritually in our lives. We have to move rapidly from salvation to discipleship. It's a call to know Him and to immediately grow in Him. It's a call to develop a relationship with Him and to be conformed to His image, but conformed to His image for purpose. And then, throughout this life journey, discovering the specific call, again, that He has for us to grow into. But before we can grow into the thing that He has for us, it is imperative, that means very, very important, for us to receive His anointing so that we can know His will and be empowered to do it. We require His anointing to know His will and to do it. In the Old Testament, prophets, priests, kings were all anointed with oil, marking them up apart so that they could carry out the will of God. It was a commissioning of sorts. And, hear that? Love that sound. Does that bell mean I'm done? Okay. It was a commissioning of sorts, and it was symbolic of the Holy Spirit's empowerment for service. In the book of Exodus, the Lord told Moses to anoint Aaron and his sons and to consecrate them so that they might minister to the Lord as priests. In 1 Samuel, Samuel takes the horn of oil and he anoints David in the midst of his brothers. And the word says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. In 1 Kings, the Lord told Elijah to anoint Elisha as a prophet in his place. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus says as he makes his way into the synagogue, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." In the book of Acts, Peter says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And as this happened, he then began to move around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil because God was with him. The Apostle John said in 1 John that as Christians, we have an anointing from the Holy One. He said, "The anointing which you have received from him abides in you." And he goes on to say that his anointing will teach us about all things concerning his will for us, concerning his plans for us, concerning his call for us. So the question then is this, and this is a question that we always must ask every time we hear the message preached. The question is this: what will this do for me? How is the anointing going to help me to become more like Jesus? And how is the anointing going to help me to not only be conformed to his image, but to do his will? The anointing, and listen carefully, almost done here. The anointing endues us with power. It endues us with protection. And it endues us with purpose. Listen carefully. The anointing, without the anointing, this might challenge some of you. Without the anointing of God on our lives, we are ineffectual to empower, to facilitate any lasting change. That means in ourselves or the works that we do. We are ineffective and ineffectual in creating any lasting change in our lives. People don't change. You can't change your nature. The Bible says so. But the anointing has power to change our very nature. Acts chapter 1 says, and this is Jesus' words, he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will receive power to be my witnesses wherever I send you." The anointing we receive from the power of the Holy Spirit is essential to living a victorious Christian life marked by freedom, peace, and power. But listen, this is important. The anointing is not just to conform you into the image of Christ. The anointing is purposeful and powerful to meet and reach the needs of others. God anoints us so that we can do what Jesus said in Luke 4, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to proclaim sight to the blind, to proclaim healing and deliverance to those people who are oppressed. And we can't do this in our strength. I mean, we can go out there and say the words, but if our lives and our words and our ministry is going to have any true impact on people around us, it must be anointed with Holy Spirit power. This anointing is not some magical power, some deep mystical force. The anointing flows from our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, friends, we need a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, period. We don't seek after the power. We don't seek after the glory. We seek after Him, and to develop a more loving, intimate relationship with Him. And as we do, He says, these signs shall follow. Hallelujah! The anointing of God comes when we experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus clearly speaks of. And He says that when you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will receive power. Really quick. I'm not going to give you a huge thing here, so just listen carefully. People make it so complicated. It's not some ritualistic, like, incantation that we release to invoke the power of God. The beauty is in the simplicity. Friends, we spend time with Him and we become like Him. We spend time in the Word. We spend time in prayer. We spend time worshiping Him and we become like Him. We develop a more intimate relationship with Him. When He tells you to do something, do it. That's called obedience. And when you walk in obedience, God always manifests His power. When we walk in obedience to the things He tells you to do, right, Leonard? Whatever He tells you to do, as He said at the wedding, do it. Or she said at the wedding, do it, right? Whatever He tells you to do, do it. And you will experience a fresh wave of His power. And finally, don't think that if you're sitting there asking for the anointing, asking for more of Him, that He's going to use you if you're just going to sit on your haunches and wait for something to happen. We must begin to move in faith. And as we begin to step forward and move by faith, God will always, it's a promise, He will always accompany a move of faith and obedience with the anointing of His Spirit and power. Amen? I want to encourage you to love Him this week and to walk in obedience to the things that He shows you to do. And to have courage to step out and walk by faith concerning the things He shows you to do, no matter how small or how big. And I promise you, because it says so in His Word, that if we will act accordingly, He will back up the promises of His Word with a fresh anointing of His Spirit and power. Amen. 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 Lord, we thank You this morning. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for the promise and the power of Your Spirit, Lord. God, we pray for a Holy Spirit anointing to be released over the people in this room. Lord, I want to lay hands on everybody here and drench them with oil. But this COVID thing won't allow me to do it, and that's okay. So we're going to trust you, Lord, by the power of your Spirit to do it in the supernatural. God, I pray for a release of anointing this morning. A release of your anointing in this place. If you are desiring a greater release of his anointing to walk in power, to walk in obedience, to walk in faith, put your hands in the air and trust the Lord to fill your hands with oil, to wash over your bodies with oil that flows from the Spirit. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. I pray, God, this morning that every hand, that every palm that is lifted before your presence, Lord, you would clean, you would empower, you would flow over, Lord. Touch us, Lord. Fill us, Lord. Prepare us, Lord, for the work that you have in this place, in this city, in this country, in this world, Lord. Equip us and empower us, Lord, for service. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord.